Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, the verses 14 to 29. Hear the word of God. Now King Herod heard of him, that is Jesus, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John, and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias held it against him, and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, and pleased Herod, and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. This ends the reading of Holy Scripture. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, have you ever come to a conclusion about something or someone, only to find out later that you were wrong? Maybe you were in the market for a new car, and you find just the car that you're looking for. You're convinced it's a good car. But after only a few minutes after purchasing it, you discover it's a lemon. Or maybe you heard something about someone, either positive or negative, and you form an opinion about that person, only to find out later that you were mistaken. Well, this is also what happened to King Herod. Herod, also known as Herod Antipas, to distinguish him from his father Herod the Great, was the ruler of Galilee and Perea during the time of Jesus Christ. He ruled over this region until 39 AD. Well, one day, Herod, along with many others, heard about the wonderful miracles that Jesus was performing. What is more, he, like many others, wondered who this man was. Some said he was Elijah. Others said he was a prophet. Still others said he was like a prophet. But Herod, as we'll see, came to a different conclusion. He concluded, mistakenly, that Jesus was John the Baptist, who had risen from the dead. Now, why did Herod come to that conclusion, and what can we learn from this? These are some of the questions we want to consider with the help of the Lord today. The theme for the sermon is Herod's mistaken conclusion about Christ. And we'll consider, first of all, the underlying reason for this conclusion, and secondly, the disappointing outcome of this conclusion. The events of our text took place towards the end of our Lord's second year of public ministry. King Herod was in his palace. While he was there, he heard some strange news. There was a man in his territory of Galilee who had the ability to perform great miracles, and many of the people followed him. Now we know who this man was. It was the promised Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But not everyone at the time of Herod understood this. There were many different views of who he was. Some said he was Elijah. Presumably, they based this on Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. There Malachi quotes the Lord as saying this, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, many of the Jews at this time took these words to mean that prior to the coming of the Messiah, Elijah himself would come to prepare the way. Now, this, of course, was not at all what Malachi meant. What he meant was that prior to the coming of the Messiah, a man like Elijah would come to prepare the way. And that's exactly what happened. John the Baptist was the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus himself said so. But the Jews did not understand this. They believed that Elijah himself would appear in person, and that's why they mistook Jesus for Elijah. Others were not prepared to go that far. They were more cautious. They were prepared to say that Jesus was a prophet, or that he was like a prophet. But they were not prepared to say that he was actually Elijah, much less the promised Messiah. But Herod had still other ideas. Herod was convinced that Jesus was John the Baptist who had risen from the dead. Now, sometime earlier, Herod had put John the Baptist to death. Why? Well, Mark tells us in verses 17 to 29. There we read that one day, while celebrating his birthday with his noblemen, Herod's wife's daughter Salome came in and danced before him and his guests. And Herod was so pleased with her that he promised to give her whatever she wanted, up to the half of his kingdom, he said. Well, unsure how to answer, Salome asked her mother, Herodias, for advice. And without hesitation, Herodias told her to ask for the head of John the Baptist. You see, sometime earlier, Herod, at Herodias' request, had put John in prison on the grounds that John opposed her marriage to Herod. Before marrying Herod, Herodias was married to Herod's brother Philip. But Herodias left Philip in order to marry Herod, and that was a violation of the law of Moses. And this is why John opposed the marriage, and he did so openly and fearlessly. And Herodias never forgave him for that. And so she instructed her daughter to ask Herod for John's head. And she did. And we read in verse 25 that immediately she came in with haste to the king and said, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And Mark tells us that when Herod heard this, he was exceedingly sorry. And yet, because of the oaths which he swore, and because he did not want to lose face in front of his noblemen, he ordered an executioner to do as Salome had requested. And now, probably only several weeks or a few months later, Herod heard about Jesus. And immediately he concluded that it was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Now, needless to say, this is rather surprising. For one thing, John the Baptist had not performed any miracles, at least not that we are aware of. So why would Herod think that Jesus was John the Baptist? For another thing, why would Herod, who was not at all a religious man, believe that John had risen from the dead. In New Testament times, no respectable person of rank and position believed in the resurrection of the dead, let alone that people rose from the dead in this life. The very idea was ludicrous. And yet Herod believed that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. And he said so openly. Why? Well, there can only be one explanation. Herod was being tortured by his conscience. That's expressed even more clearly in the original Greek. Literally, Herod says, "He whom I beheaded, John, this one was raised." Well, the pronoun I is in the emphatic position. So literally, what Herod says is this: "He whom I, yes, even I beheaded, John, this one is raised." Evidently, Herod felt terribly guilty about what he had done to John. And he knew that he had executed John unjustly. And now, or so he believed, John had come back from the dead, possibly to get his revenge. Now, we see here something of the amazing power of the conscience, don't we? Herod was a thoroughly wicked man. He didn't care one bit for God or for his cause. But when he heard about Jesus, his conscience was pricked. Bishop J.C. Ryle writes this, and I quote, "Herod fears John the Baptist while he lives and is troubled about him after he dies. A friendless, solitary preacher with no other weapon than God's truth disturbs and terrifies a king." Well, still today, the conscience is a powerful tool that God uses both to restrain and to convict of sin. Now, to be sure, the conscience does not always work the way that it should. If the conscience is suppressed, for example, it can have a very negative effect on people, making them feel unsettled, at times even driving them to madness and suicide. It had that very effect on Judas Iscariot, you remember. After he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, Judas went back to the temple and cast the money on the ground, saying, "I have betrayed innocent blood." And then we read in the Gospels that he went out and he hanged himself. But if the conscience is working properly, it can have a positive effect on people, restraining them from doing evil or causing them to repent of evil. This is also the case in the life of the believer, isn't it? After David cut off a corner of Saul's robe, we read that his heart was troubled to the point that he restrained his servants from killing him. Or Peter, after he denied the Lord Jesus, his conscience was so smitten that he went out of the court of Caiaphas weeping bitterly. And we see this same dynamic here in our text. Although Herod was not a believer, his conscience was still working. As soon as he heard about Jesus, he was convinced it was John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Oh, dear friends, let us thank God for the conscience. Ryle calls it the secret of a faithful minister's power. It was because of the conscience, he says, that Felix trembled and Agrippa was almost persuaded. "Fallen and corrupt as man is," Ryle writes, "there are thoughts within him accusing or excusing according as he lives, thoughts that will not be shut out, thoughts that can make even kings like Herod restless and afraid." Oh, since that is so, dear friends, let us who are involved in preaching or teaching the Word of God not despair. We never know how the Lord may use our words even after we are gone. The seed planted today may not germinate and grow until after we are dead. And therefore, let us keep on sowing the Word, even if it appears to be of no avail. Herod, therefore, mistook Jesus for John the Baptist. Now, what was the outcome of this? That brings us to our second point. Herod was convinced that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. In fact, he was so convinced of this that he rejected all other possible explanations. He rejected the explanation that Jesus was Elijah. He even rejected the explanation that he was a prophet. So desiring to settle the matter, we read in Luke's Gospel that Herod sought to see him. Now, why did Herod seek to see him? Did he perhaps wish to repent and ask John to forgive him? That's not very likely. It seems more likely that he simply wanted to satisfy his curiosity. He had never seen a man who had risen from the dead before. This was his opportunity. Besides, Herod always had a soft spot for John. He didn't like the fact that John told him that it was unlawful for him to have his brother's wife. But the Gospels tell us that Herod heard John gladly and even sought to protect him from Herodias, his wife. It's possible that Herod, therefore, simply wanted to renew an old acquaintance. It's also possible that he wanted to try to kill him again. The fact is, we simply don't know. All we know is that Herod tried to see him. Was he successful? Well, as far as we know, he was not. Maybe he was afraid. Herod knew that John the Baptist was much admired by the people. To seize him now might provoke a revolt, which is the last thing Herod wanted. Or maybe he didn't try very hard. Well, whatever the case, he was not successful. He did not actually see him. And in a way, that was very unfortunate. Had Herod been able to see Jesus, he would have discovered that he was mistaken. He would have discovered that the person whom he thought was John the Baptist risen from the dead was actually the one to whom he pointed, the one whose name he proclaimed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon discovering this, he might have repented of what he had done and be saved. But alas, that did not happen. As a result, Herod's heart became even more hardened. In fact, on one occasion, some Pharisees came to Jesus and advised him to depart, for Herod was seeking to kill him, either because he still thought that Jesus was John the Baptist or because he was convinced that Jesus was a threat. But Jesus refused, calling Herod a fox. Eventually, however, Herod did see Jesus in Jerusalem at the Passover, the night before Jesus was crucified. And there we read that after conducting a preliminary examination of Jesus, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. And Luke informs us that when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Well, when Jesus appeared before Herod, we read that Herod proceeded to ask him many questions, but Jesus did not answer him a single word. We read that Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Herod finally had an opportunity to see Jesus, to confess his sins and to be saved, but he squandered it in exchange for a few minutes of fun. Now, this is the last we ever hear of Herod in the New Testament. History tells us that several years later, in 36 A.D., Aretas, king of Nabatea and father of Herod's first wife, waged war against Herod and defeated him badly. And after a few years later, Herod's nephew, Herod Agrippa, the Herod of the book of Acts, denounced him before the emperor Gaius, and he was subsequently deposed from his tetrarchy and ended his days in exile. What a sad and pathetic end. Now, we can learn several lessons from this. We learn, first of all, that when the conscience speaks, we should listen. When Herod heard about Jesus, his conscience began to speak to him. He realized that what he had done was wrong, and now he was about to suffer the consequences for his actions. But that's as far as it went. Had Herod listened to his conscience, he would have pulled out all the stops. He would have made every effort to see Jesus, but he didn't. And as a result, he suppressed his conscience, and he perished in his sins. Oh, my friend, let us not do the same. When the conscience speaks, we have to listen. The conscience is one of the means that the Holy Spirit uses to bring sinners to repentance and faith in Christ and to guide His people in the way of holiness and sanctification. But when we suppress it, it doesn't speak to us as loudly and clearly as it should. And we not only deprive ourselves of a great blessing, we may even bring down on ourselves the wrath and judgment of God. Oh, how we need to listen to the conscience. Secondly, we learn here that when we have the opportunity to be saved, we need to seize it. Think of Herod. He had not one, but two opportunities to be saved. The first was when he heard about Jesus and thought that he was John the Baptist. The second was when he met Jesus himself in Jerusalem. But Herod wasted both opportunities. And now where is he? Is in hell, forever lamenting the fact that he did not repent and believe when he had the opportunity to do so. Oh, my friend, let this be a warning to those who are not saved. Like Herod, you too have had many opportunities to be saved. Every Sunday you hear the Word of God proclaimed twice. You hear the invitations of the Gospel and the warnings of the Word of God to flee from the wrath to come, but you have not responded to these things. Others perhaps have responded, but not entirely. You've made a few outward changes, and you don't go to places where you shouldn't go, and you read your Bible more and pray more, and you're more faithful in your church attendance, but you haven't given your whole heart to the Lord yet. You're keeping some of it back for yourself. You're trying to serve two masters, Christ and the world. Oh, make no mistake, those who live for the world will also perish with the world. In fact, the Bible says you will suffer far greater punishment than those who have never heard the gospel. Oh, since that is so, I urge you to repent, my friends. Turn from your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise of the gospel is you shall be saved. We learn here, thirdly, that a pricked conscience is not necessarily a sign of true conversion. Matthew Henry writes, "There may be the terrors of strong conviction where there is not the truth of a saving conversion." And Herod is a case in point, isn't he? His conscience was pricked. He even made an effort to see Jesus, and yet he was not saved. Oh, do not be deceived. Not every work of the Holy Spirit is a saving work. There's also a general work. And at times that general work can appear to be a true saving work, but it is not so. At times the Holy Spirit can work powerfully in the hearts and lives of people and yet not bring them to true conversion. Well, you say, how then can we know if we're saved? Well, just ask yourself, do you know yourself to be a bankrupt sinner before God? Are you trusting in Christ and His active and passive obedience as the only hope and ground of your salvation? Are you looking to Him as your prophet, priest, and king, a prophet to teach you, a priest to make atonement for your sins and to intercede for you, and as a king to rule over you? Are you striving to put sin to death in your lives and to live according to the commandments of God, to the glory of God? Oh, if these things are not present, at least to some degree, then you are not saved, my friend. You're not a Christian. You're on your way to hell. And so we need to examine ourselves. We need to make our calling and election sure, as the Bible says. Don't be satisfied with a few impressions, a few outward changes and spiritual experiences. Those things cannot save. There's only one who can save. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Herod mistakenly concluded that Jesus was John the Baptist. My friend, what's your conclusion about Jesus today? Like Herod, you too have heard much about him. More than Herod. You've even heard of his teaching. You've heard about his miracles. You know more about Jesus than most people in the entire world. And so what's your conclusion about him? I trust that for many, hopefully for most of us, he is the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of sinners. And if that is your conclusion of him, oh, give glory to God for it, for that's not your doing. By nature, we are poor and blind and ignorant. We neither know Christ, nor do we care to know him. If we have come to the right conclusion about Christ, it's only because the Lord in his mercy has revealed him to us. And therefore, all the glory and the honor belongs unto him. But perhaps there are some who are listening to my voice today who have not come to the right conclusion about Christ. You cannot deny, perhaps, that Jesus is somebody special. You may even acknowledge him to be the Son of God, and he is. but you've never embraced Him. You've never trusted in Him. You've never believed on Him, and you're not living for Him. Oh, if so, I urge you to do so today. Don't be like Herod. Herod had the opportunity to believe, but he neglected it. And now he is in hell, forever lamenting the fact that he did not make good use of those opportunities while he had them. My friend, may that not be true of any of us today. May God give us grace that we may come to the right conclusion about Jesus, so that we may live to all eternity. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. That's all one word, BannerOfTruthRadio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are, what we believe, and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. That's frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. The Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station. You can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit our webpage. Again, that's at BannerOfTruthRadio.com. And on the bottom of the page, you'll see there a donation section, and you can access that and fill in any amount there. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.